Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 23rd, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 55, the fifth paragraph, which begins, "In this book you will read." And we'll be reading through two paragraphs ending in "to the point of self-destruction." We'll be reading and commenting on both those paragraphs. Today's readers are Danelle M., who will be reading the 12 steps, Gail B., who will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Sandy W., Jackie H., and Becca R. The share ID for Sunday, September 22nd, the special edition, is 13,429. That's 13429. And for this morning's meeting, September 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the share ID is 13,430. That's 13430. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggie O. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose. And if you could check to see if you're unmuted, we've got some background noise there, so star one to mute, please. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Danelle M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Great. Thanks, Kathleen. This is Danelle M. in Pennsylvania, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for our knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
And thank you, Danelle M. Gail B., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning. This is Gail B. from Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
And thank you, Gail B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 55, the fifth paragraph, beginning with "In this book you will read," and we'll be reading through two paragraphs, ending to the point of self-destruction, reading and commenting on both those paragraphs. So good morning, Sandy W., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks so much for your service. Yes, this is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. So, from the Big Book. In this book, you will read the experience of a man who thought he was an atheist. His story is so interesting that some of it should be told now. His change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. Our friend was a minister's son. He attended church school, where he became rebellious at what he thought an overdose of religious education. For years thereafter, he was dogged by trouble and frustration. Business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide. These calamities in his immediate family embittered and depressed him. Post-war delusionment, even more serious alcoholism, impending mental and physical collapse, brought him to the point of self-destruction. And I am starting my timer now. Again, Sandy W. from Connecticut. You know, I'm certainly not a scholar or a historian or that knowledgeable of this Big Book, but I learned this morning that this story is from a gentleman named Fitzmayo, and that his full story is told in the back, and it's called Our Southern Friend. But what I'm really drawn to in these paragraphs is the line that I too can have a change of heart that is dramatic, convincing, and moving. You know, it's asking me if that is so interesting to me that I'd be willing to do the work involved. And I've been finding myself lately asking if I'm doing enough to not only stay in fit spiritual condition, but to expand and increase my spiritual connection. And that answer always is that I could do more. You know, I often compare my spiritual practices to what I hear on this line or in other meetings, but God's been putting on my heart that He made each of us unique and individually special, and that our relationship with Him will be that way too. You know, I've loved hearing the reminder in this chapter that faith without works is dead, and that this is a program of action. You know, where we are now in the book is only asking us to be willing to believe in a power greater than ourselves. And we just read that that power is already deep down in every one of us. It's there, and it's not leaving. We've just blocked ourselves from it, you know, by the bad things that have happened to us, or a sense of self-importance, or a worship of other things. And this story of this young man, you know, will not only demonstrate that, but it tells us how the work of the steps removes the block so that we can have that contact with God that restores our sanity. You know, it worked for me too, even though I was so sure that I was too darn difficult and different to reap the benefits of this program. You know, and in becoming sane, I no longer want those foods that I couldn't stop wanting before. And I do so happily. That's still such a miracle to me. So yes, please join us if you haven't already on this broad highway, you know, where this change of heart is dramatic, convincing, and moving. And that fact, this change of heart, it's not just possible for each of us, it's promised in the words of this book and in the actions in terms of following its instructions. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me do this service.
Thank you, Sandy W. Okay, who else would like to share on these two paragraphs on page 55, starting with
Christina J.
In this book you will read? Christina J.
Bruce E.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Julie Rachel B.
Julie who?
E.B.
E.B., okay.
Beth Rachel B. Q.K.
I heard maybe two names. Was one a Deborah?
Betsy. QK.
Betsy, was that Betsy QK?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. Okay. Sorry, Betsy. I know who you are, Betsy. Okay, let me stop there because then I'm going to put Leslie M. at the end of after Betsy QK, who will be making a special announcement about our convention coming up. So I have Christina J., Bruce E., Donna B., Julie E.B., Betsy Q.K., and then we'll have Leslie M. So go ahead, Christina J.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington, and happy to be on the line this morning. This is a day I have off, which was a true gift from God, which I didn't realize till today. Our friend was a minister's son. One of my stepfathers was a minister. And as I've said before in the line, I've always had religion in my life, always felt close to God, all that stuff. I didn't have an overdose of church school, but I was dogged by trouble and frustration my whole life. I've had business failure. My mother's had a fatal illness. My sister died from overdose of prescription meds, and before that she was deathly ill with meth. My brother was in prison. My stepfather committed suicide, which really, really affected me. But I didn't think I was embittered and depressed. But I'll tell you something. Deep inside, there was bitterness going on and depression. I had no idea because I was using food as my friend to stuff everything down. I had no idea. I had huge resentments and feelings and fears that drove every moment of my life. And these things grow and they grow. I didn't just come to the point of self-destruction overnight. It was an ongoing thing throughout my life. My eating addiction, of course, became ever more serious, controlled by the things many of us control it with in the beginning, diet and needing to look perfect and driven to over-exercise to the point of fatigue and almost anorexia. I didn't quite get there. Mental and physical collapse this last 2017 and 18, I really got to the point of maybe the height of my addiction. And when I came into program, I began to surrender, but I didn't know at first what I was supposed to surrender. I didn't know that I didn't have a connection. I didn't know that I wasn't totally full of all this fear, resentment, self-centeredness, selfishness. I had no idea. I know I was really bothered by stuff in life. Certain things really pushed my buttons and sent me into days of pain, emotional pain and physical frustration, which, of course, then again, my friend food was there, and I just couldn't get it right with food. Until I got through my first four-step, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, I had no idea that I had buried all these calamities in my life, this failure, this horrible pain of my stepfather killing himself, my mother's illness, my brother's, just all these things, and my own separation from my first husband because of we both had addictions, and we were both just lost in them and had no idea how to connect with each other in a loving, respectful relationship way. So that was definitely something that was lost over this. Lost homes, lost so many things. So I can only encourage you, don't do this alone, because when you're doing it alone, you're, well, for me, I was with the food. Food was how I was doing it alone, handling life alone. And I never reached out to anybody. And this program is about companionship. It's about relationship. It's about knowing that we can reach out without shame and guilt to one another at any given moment. And yesterday, I'll finish up with this. I had a day full of really frustration. And you know what? I didn't do one 10-step. I realized it this morning in my 11-step. I was like, oh, my God, I didn't do it. I should have gotten up and did 10 steps. Anyway, we have the tools to get through this, and you can do it too. Join us. Love to everyone, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Okay, Bruce E. from Florida, you're up next, followed by Donna B.
Yeah, Bruce E., thank you very much. Moderator, thanks everybody on the call. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovering, and I'm actually in North Carolina now through about the middle of November, right after the convention. I'll be back here for a couple of weeks, and then I'll be back in Florida, God willing. Our friend was a minister's son. He attended church school, where he became rebellious of what he thought an overdose of religious education. Well, I got an overdose from my dad and my brother of just pressure about why can't you do better? You know, what's the deal? What, you know, let's get with it. My dad wasn't a minister. He was a teacher. God bless his heart, bless his soul. Just as bad, right? So, yeah, he was a teacher, and he thought by pressuring me, I would do better. And I kept doing worse, because like it says here, the guy got rebellious, so I was very rebellious. Went on with trouble and frustration, business failure, had three clothing stores, all of them ultimately went under. Insanity, had plenty of that, fatal illness. Suicide, thought about suicide. So what did I do about it? I chose to live at that time in rebellion and self-will, and I thought that would work. It's in a lot of addiction and never worked. So I ended up coming close to suicide, had a spiritual experience at one point in my life finally, and it turned my life around. Still had plenty of character defects, got in this program, and really, really started working the steps. Got into vision about a year and a half ago, and that has helped me tremendously. Have a problem with ego, and I think my ego was getting, kept telling myself I'm doing so well, and went back on Saturday night, picked up on Saturday night. I'm back with, talked to my sponsor yesterday, and he said, do what the big book says. Go back, start all over again. So he and I are starting over again on doctor's opinion tomorrow morning, and looking forward to that. Feel a great relief from knowing I talked to my sponsor, and he didn't fire me, and he gave me another chance. So God has given me so many chances. Man, have I had a lot of chances. But like this minister's son, I came back around. Today I choose to be abstinent. I choose to live a different way than the way I used to live.
Fine, please.
Oh, thank you. And I pass.
Okay, thank you, Brucey. Donna B., it is your turn, followed by Julie E.B.
Thank you. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling in from Denver. What strikes me is the sequencing of these two paragraphs. Before we hear about the hardship that this man faced, we hear about his change of heart that was dramatic, convincing, and moving. And in my experience, it is helpful to see and to witness recovery in those around me, and to see and to witness the dramatic, convincing, and moving changes prior to hearing about the depth of which their illness took them to. It's the change of heart, which I can see in others, that inspires me to really have faith that I too can be restored to sanity by watching it and witnessing it in others. Once I'm inspired by seeing that in others, I am curious about their story. I'm curious about where they were and how they got to where they are now. I experienced a lot of rebelliousness in my growing up years and well into my adult years. When I believe that there's a person in power, whether that's my mother or a school principal or a rabbi, that is misusing his or her power, I make it my sole purpose in life to make that misuse of power seen by others and to protect the people who are being hurt and to get deeply involved. And I can tell you that that has not worked well for me at all. Today, I'm grateful, and I remind myself every morning in my prayer and meditation practice to seek, to know when I am in a position of uncertainty, so that I can seek God's intuition, decision, direction. And because I practice that, that big promise in that paragraph, which tells us we relax and take it easy, we don't struggle. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna B. Okay, Julie E.B., good morning. You're up next, followed by Betsy Q.K.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado. And I'm just very blessed to hear about this paragraph. I think there's a lot in here for me and for all of us. And I think you could definitely say that I was overdosed on religion and thought that that's where all the answers were. But the truth of the matter is that what's happened in this program has been definitely dramatic, convincing, and moving. And I was also dogged by trouble, frustration, business failure, which I'm actually facing with something that I'm doing in the next couple days, facing how God has brought me back from that insanity. I used to spin, I used to brainstorm, and then what I call the talk storm, when I talk to everyone about my problems for hours at a time, people say, how can you work this program a few hours a day? Well, my brain used to be busy, full of the food, full of thinking about the food, not eating the food, controlling the food, and then fighting everyone and everything. Fatal illness at 42 years old. I could have died, and I'm turning 50 this week on Friday. I was 6 years old the first time my mom told me that she was thinking of committing suicide, and I was there by myself and had no idea what to do. And I prayed to a God then. And only later could I see that these calamities had, in fact, embittered and depressed beautiful things that had happened. Disillusionment, yes, and then my dependence, impending medical and physical collapse. I was at the point of self-destruction, and I'm grateful now for that self-destruction. I'm grateful to be out of ideas, and I'm grateful to be looking for power bigger than myself. Every day, resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, they come up, and I clear them out many times a day, and I have access to a life beyond my wildest dreams. So if you're suffering today in the food, or you're suffering today in the bedevilments and in the powerlessness and the unmanageability, reach out. Thanks for letting me share in my path.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Hey, Betsy, you are up next, and after you share, Leslie M. is going to be making a special announcement regarding the convention, and then I'll be taking more names. And again, we're reading on page 55, the fifth paragraph in this book you will read, and we're going through two paragraphs ending to the point of self-destruction. So go ahead, Betsy.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thanks for your service. This is Betsy QK, a recovered bulimic compulsive overeater in Colorado. So I can relate to the rebellion, but not against religion, because this reminds me of that, you know, song, why did the kids put beans in their ears? No one can hear with beans in their ears. They did it because their parents said no or whatever. I can't remember the whole, all the phrases. I could sing it for you, but I won't waste my time, waste your time. But my parents were anti-religious. My dad was an atheist. But they said, if you want to go to church, we can take you to church and drop you off. And so I did that as a child, mostly because I was looking for belonging and community from a family that I didn't feel like I belonged in with my father and stepmother. So I had the opposite experience. But I can tell you that even though I embraced religion, I embraced God as a young child, it didn't save me from addiction. And it didn't save me from going into the depths of insanity, because my disease makes me willful. And my disease makes me, tells me that I can handle this and that I can figure it out. And that I just have to have more willpower, a new plan, et cetera, to make my life work. And so my disease is one of self-reliance and denial. And I've been thinking a lot lately about how denial is, in some ways, even today, around other things, still second nature for me. And that when I don't acknowledge truth in myself and around me, that it's harmful. It's another way of like blocking God out and being in self-will when I'm in denial. So I'm grateful today that I continually have to come back and surrender to God, because that's what keeps me reliant on God. Because if everything was going perfectly, you know, my brain might say, I'm doing this. And just keep doing what you're doing because it works. And instead, I'll come up against a wall, you know, with different things going on, and then I have to re-surrender again. So that's all I have for today. Thanks.
Thank you, Betsy QK. Okay, Leslie M. is going to give us an announcement about convention information. So go ahead, Leslie.
Thank you, Kathleen O., for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And I certainly know where I am going to be November 15th through 17th this year. I'm going to be at the Vision for You convention. It's at the Marriott Hotel and Convention Center at Newark, New Jersey, at the Liberty. It's right on the Liberty International Airport property. And it, as I said, it's November 15th through the 17th. Registration for this event closes October 24th. All your registration information is right on our website. It's www.avision4u.info. I'm so excited about this. This has been on my calendar for months, and I'm so very grateful that I have this opportunity to go and meet probably 800 of my best friends, people that I hear on the line, and am I finally going to get to meet them, see their faces, and, you know that we share a deep bond, because we have each gone through this program of recovery. And even if you're not going through the program of recovery, perhaps this is the excitement, this is a spark that you need to get going with your program. And so I would invite all of you to join me there, and I hope to see you. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, thanks, Leslie M., and I'm looking forward to seeing everyone at the convention, too. Okay, we are on page 55, the fifth paragraph in this book you will read,
We're reading two paragraphs this morning, ending in To the Point of Self-Destruction, and I'm ready to take some more names for whoever would like to share on those two paragraphs.
Maureen S.
Maureen.
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M.
Suri C.
Suri C.
Rachel P.
I got Rachel P. And who else was there? Okay.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. I thought I heard a Deborah in there. Anyone else?
Jackie H.
Jackie H. Okay, let's stop there and we'll see how we go. So I have Maureen S., I think it is, Janice PM, Suri C., Rachel P., Deborah G., Jackie H. If I got those initials wrong, you can correct me. So go ahead, Maureen, please.
Thank you so much. Maureen S. here, recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Very grateful for this meeting, grateful for this reading. What spoke to me was, two big things, was years. For years, he was dogged by trouble and frustration. And in my overeating disease, that's what I would do. I would leave the room, and my relapses weren't like days or months or weeks. They were years long, multiple relapses that were years long. And I love being reminded of that because it helps me to stay in today and in the moment. And and I'm never leaving these rooms. I'm grateful to be abstinent, but if for some reason I break my abstinence and I have a slip, I am never, ever, ever leaving my recovery. I'm coming right back with honesty. And a big mistake I used to make was I would just pick up once, then I would just throw in the towel and just continue to use my drug of choice and be miserable for years and years. And I'm learning from that, and it helps me to read the big book and just be so mindful of that. I also was really moved by, it was life circumstances that brought this fellow to the point of self-destruction. The things that he listed, impending, you know, post-war disillusionment and his drinking, those are all life circumstances. And I'm really coming to accept the fact that my life is not going to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be perfect. And I'm learning slowly, ever so slowly, to accept life on life's terms. Before, I just would not accept it. I would just be miserable, and life wasn't the way it was supposed to be, and I wasn't getting everything I wanted, and me. And then I would go and turn into the food and be even more miserable. So I'm really learning acceptance. And this week I really was helped by, I used to follow the directions and pause when I was struggling with something and ask God, okay, what's the next right step? And I realized this week that although I was doing that with sincerity, I really wasn't asking God for the next right step. I was really asking him to solve the problem, take it from me, or give me my way. I used to wonder, why do I have such difficulty asking God for the next right step? And I was thinking, okay, well, I'm not hearing him right. I'm not getting the direction. You know, this isn't working. And he really showed me that he was telling me what to do. It just wasn't what I wanted to hear. I had a situation with my husband. I won't get into the details, but I wanted, okay, Lord, tell me to do what the next right step is. And it wasn't what I wanted to hear. So I was just really in denial. I'm grateful for just realizing that when I ask God to help me to pause and ask for the next right step, he's going to give me the next right step. Might not be in my timetable and might not be what I want, but it's really about acceptance. And I'm just really grateful for today. And I thank you all. I'll pass.
Thank you, Maureen S. And Janice PM, go ahead, please, followed by Suri C.
Yes, good morning to you, Kathleen O, and good morning to everyone. My name is Janice PM. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Kathleen? Oh, good. Okay, dear. Yes, and I'm from Massachusetts. Okay, when I read this paragraph, in the next paragraph, I have to go back and remind myself that this is step two. Okay, and he's going to tell his story, and the story is telling you and me how this all started, how it began, and we're going to see here that it begins by thinking, his thinking, this is where it begins. He's thinking that he has to open, he doesn't know this, but he has to open his mind. That's the lesson that I get, because he was so rebellious, like me, you know. I was so rebellious, my disease, I knew what I wanted, I knew what was right, I knew that this would, if I do this, then I'll get that. Well, my best thinking got me to OA many decades ago. So there had to be an opening of my mind. It doesn't say you must believe it now in step two and you're going to be restored to sanity. No, it says open up your mind. That's all. Just don't be rebellious at the thought that there could be a power greater than myself. And then, of course, we have to, you know, get destroyed through this disease before some of us open our mind. Or some of us already had our mind open with the God, but that didn't work because we were still telling him what to do. So the point here is to open my mind, and my mind will be changed. He thought it was the religious, you know. He thought that was it. But if he opened up his mind and he was willing to believe before knowing the result, which he found through doing the steps, because knowing that the power was inside, that power will be discovered. Not maybe, not at the second step, because we've got some more work to do. So he knew the experience. It says here that we will read the experience of a man who thought he was an atheist. Well, we'll see. It's so interesting, because he changed his change of heart. And that means from his thinking to his heart. And then he got to know. And that's what it means by change of heart. A change of his twisted, my twisted thinking. The things that I knew, that I thought I knew, I had to do the opposite, because I didn't know anything. Because when I got here, I had a strict idea of what and how I should act and how I should do and what you should do. And yes, thank you so much. And that is the time. So we're going to see a miracle happening by just opening up our minds. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice PM. Suri C., go ahead, followed by Rachel P. Suri, can you press star 1 to unmute?
Hi, sorry. Suri C., compulsive overeater from Connecticut. I have no words. I know I need this program. I am not absent right now, and I, you know, it's my turn to be a jumble of tears. I used to judge everybody as, like, if you came on this line and you were not, if you were a jumble of tears, I'm like, of course, I'm better. But I'm not. I'm a jumble of tears today. I had a very difficult weekend. I just opened my very overdue contract for my school year, even though the school year already started. And it says a completely different number, and I don't know what to do, but I know that my problem is that I started out this morning, I was in the food, because I have an overflow of emotions and I have this obsession, and I just, I'm on this line reaching out because I belong here, because I know that I could handle everything so much better if I were taking better care of myself. And also relying more on my higher power, because when I say that I'm crying because I just opened my contract, it has a higher number than it should have. But I don't know what to do with that now, because anyway, but it's all good and it's all God and it'll all make sense and it'll all work out well, because my higher power is what got me to this point, what helped me to call into this line, and this fellowship is truly such a blessing. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Suri C., and we're happy you're here with us this morning. Okay, Rachel P., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. This paragraph is absolutely resonating with me. I have not read the story in the back, but thank you, reader, for sharing that. I want to now. I thought I was an atheist. For many years, I thought I was an atheist because religion was shoved down my throat for my entire childhood and adolescence. We went to church every Sunday. I was involved in youth group, and I was in the middle of the confirmation process of my church when my mom committed suicide, and I found her body. And then my dad soon thereafter became an abusive meth addict, and I became depressed, and illness is another part of my story. I had childhood leukemia, and so did my sister prior to those events, and there was a lot of turmoil in my childhood and in my formative years. And so even though religion was a part of our lives, I never felt spiritual. I never felt connected to a higher power as I do now. I became embittered because life didn't go the way that I had envisioned it would go or the way that I wanted it to go. And I was overweight. I started gaining weight when I was 9 because I was born with this disease. And so I was so angry and full of self-pity and fear, and I isolated. And so after my mom died, I became an atheist. And I, you know, my brain told me never again. Never again will I choose a higher power, because what did a higher power do for me? It brought me to this place of misery and despair. And I was absolutely disillusioned. And my disease just got worse and worse and worse because I lived in this place of isolation and self-will, and tried to lose the weight and force this future happiness. And then coming into program, I learned that was never for me to do. It was up to my higher power. And at first I couldn't accept the notion of a higher power. I didn't want anything to do with a God, but I knew that I was desperate enough that I had to just accept that there was something greater than me. I just had to have that willingness. And it really is incredible that for so many years I thought I was an atheist, you know, more than 10 years, and then to come in and have that willingness. And now I do use the word God, which I never would have thought that I would. At that time, during all of those traumatic experiences, and I don't have to self-destruct anymore, and that's really a miracle that I can be with all of you and working this program and not feel alone anymore, despite all of that pain that I have experienced. So I'm so grateful for this program, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Rachel P. Okay, Deborah, you're up next, followed by Jackie H.
Oh, good morning, everyone. My name is Deborah, and I'm recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you all for your service this morning and making this meeting possible. I recently went through the steps again, and what I'm learning is that when I go through the steps and I'm taking the action, being open-minded, willing, and honest, that I have a new experience with that power, you know, in step two. And I'm learning more and more that it's not anything about my old beliefs of a higher power. It's more closer and closer inside, closer connected. Sometimes I can't put the words that the experience is or what it is. You know, it just happens, you know. And if I can get into a place of surrender, you know, do the action steps with surrender, whatever it is, going to that power, going within, then I am different. I'm different. And when I'm different, everything else is different. And I'm really focusing a lot on being that power, being love. You know, being love, being loving. Because that's the complete opposite of what I was like when I was in the food. And so I know if I just keep doing that action, keep doing what, you know, and talking to my sponsor, I loved when we went through the steps because she shared her experience. And through her sharing her experience, I had my experience. It was wonderful. It's like, it's again, I don't have to do this alone. And I'm always carried. I'm always carried. And I heard someone say that God loves me more than I love myself. And to keep connecting to that experience and sharing that love out into the world. And that's all I have. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Jackie H., we're ready for you.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Kathleen. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Whew, I almost was going to pass. And then I just had this overwhelming desire that I did have something to say. I thought, I really don't have anything to say, but I really do. And, you know, I was not a preacher's kid. My kids were preacher's kids. I was pastor's wife, and I have a son, actually, that I thought about when I was reading this morning, because he is that preacher's kid that is in his addiction of alcoholism. But anyway, beyond all that, and that whole thing aside, the whole religious thing, I went back over my life and I thought about when I was, I'm going to be in tears now, about the self-loathing that I had when I would stuff my face with food and go throw up and do it over and over again. I was thinking the other night how I don't know how I survived my young years when I was doing this horrible behavior to myself, this destructive behavior to myself 3 and 4 times a day. And then I, you know, that, and that all morphed into other things. It morphed into alcoholism. It morphed into relationships. It morphed into all kinds of destructive behavior. And, you know, 2 failed marriages, really lots of failed personal relationships. I just couldn't live life. From the time I was really little, I couldn't live life on life's terms. And I did live life as a victim, I think. And when I came into the program in July of 2018, you know, I was looking probably at another failed marriage eventually if I didn't get a hold of things. And my problem, but yes, the self-loathing, that's just what keeps coming up. And if there's anybody out there that has this absolute self-loathing, I know today, thank you, God, for this, the steps that I've gone through here, and especially this chapter. I absolutely love this chapter. That I know today, this is a step 2 thing, I know today that my higher power, absolutely, I am wrapped in love like nothing else I have ever experienced in my life. And it's not something I can talk about. I can't divine it. I can't tell you about it. I can only experience it and let you know that it's possible. And let you know that because of that love, I don't have to do destructive behaviors today. I don't have to do any of the things that I used to do to fill this hole that I thought I had. Today, I get to care and love for my, and love myself, absolutely love myself and love the people around me. And I have a solid marriage. Thank you. Marriage today. And my relationships are being repaired. And so I just have much, much gratitude in my heart today for this program, for all of my fellows, and I just encourage you, reach out, those of you who are suffering, and we all suffer actually from time to time, but reach out and get on board here. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jackie H., and thank you everyone who shared today. It was a wonderful meeting as always. Special thanks to our Team Monday, Danelle M., Gail B., Sandy W., Jackie H., Becca R., Mo H., and Reggie O. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Jackie H., if you could please read a vision for you, please.
Yes, thank you, Kathleen. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.